Duck South Studios in Oxford, Mississippi.
We're mass communicating.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for them.
This is the End of the Line podcast, powered by DuckSouth.com.
I gave it a 10.
Sweep the leg. You have a problem with that.
And now, here are your hosts, Rocky LaFleur.
Everybody on? Good.
Great. Grand. Wonderful.
No yelling on the bus.
Josh Webb.
Sorry I had a fight familiar, your butt at the party.
And Jake Latondras.
I am bad news.
Also starring Rob Kroon.
I bet this guy's into the woods $100.
And Bradley Ramsey.
No, Mark, didn't say it.
Showtime.
All right, here we go. Hold your ears, folks. It's showtime.
Showtime, everybody! Showtime!
Welcome to the End of the Line podcast. I'm Rocky LaFleur, sitting in the Duck South Studios in Oxford, Mississippi. Wait, it's not Monday.
No, it's certainly not Monday.
Hey, how'd you trip back from the West Virginia, South Carolina state line where the main migration of ducks is sitting right now? How'd that trip back go?
It went good, man. They're stacked in there pretty thick. It's cordwood. I'm going to go back. It's a long drive, but I'm going back.
It's got to be a beautiful, scenic view with those mountains in the background of West Virginia.
Yeah, and when you go through East Tennessee and see those beautiful mountains and everything, I mean, it's a sight to be seen.
Everybody's asking where the ducks are. That's where they are.
Yep.
Straight from the mouth of Rob Kroon.
That's right. Can't kill them from the couch.
All right, tell me. Look, before we go into Mondays with Rob mode, seriously, what's the duck situation like from your point of view?
It's pretty grim. There are some guys kill them certain places, and we've been doing decent. We're probably down somewhere between 50% and 70%. But we're still having some decent hunts, and our pecans got flooded in that last little rain there, and I took a picture of it, but it was dark. I had about 16 chiladas, so it's kind of hard to see, but I'll try and post it. We're fixing getting them pecans pretty hard after Christmas. But, yeah, it's getting better. You can tell. I mean, we've got some ducks showed up, and they're going to get stale with this weather or whatever, but it's going to get better. January's going to be good, and everybody's going to forget how bad this November, December sucked. But everybody, all the big clubs, the guys that keep up with their numbers and really watch stuff, they all know they're down. It's the booger eaters that, you know, are like, well, I killed 27 today. You're an idiot. You know, okay, guy. I got you. I talked to some of the best clubs in Arkansas, and they're down so bad that it's obvious that that they're just not here. They're going to be here. They're coming. They're going to come no matter what. But everybody's going to have to be a little patient and not get tore up. Don't sell your stuff. Don't go selling all your crap. You know.
Hey, I'll tell you this. Everybody, look, weather's a main mover of ducks. Go in siege mode just a second, because I got two questions that came from what you just talked about. But listen, do some research on your own. Go look at the weather in Calgary, Alberta, and then Regina, Saskatchewan, right there in that southwest Saskatchewan corridor, right there on the kind of the southeast side of Alberta. Some duck country right through there. And I think it's been in the single digits, maybe two nights in 60 days.
Yeah.
That's not going to move ducks.
No, and you know, you'll get some migrations just from the length of day, and they're going to come down here, and you're going to shoot them for a day or two and have good hunts. If you manage your property really well, you might get a week to 10 days. But we're not getting the numbers that we usually get, you know, and I talk to enough people to know that, and it's just going to be part of it. It reminds me of 2002. In 2002, there were ducks, and they were down, but they were in Texas and Oklahoma, and they stayed there. and Mississippi and Arkansas struggled, and Tennessee as well. Last year, Mississippi and Tennessee had the best years they've had in, I don't know, 10, 15 years, especially Tennessee, maybe 20. But, you know, they are ducks. They do fly, and they will get on one side of the river or their patterns. You know, they do this, and it happens on years, and it's just part of it. You can't just expect the ducks to show up at the same spot every year and do the same thing. It's not what they do. So it is reminding me of that year, and they never did shift back, you know. So I'm guessing that it may be one of those years, and we may just have to deal with what we get, deal with half the numbers, and be happy that we get to hunt instead of work or whatever people do when they're not hunting.
Yeah, with the lack of ducks that we're seeing right now, one interesting thing you're seeing on social media is either old pictures being reused by guide services or cameras that were put in a different position taking another angle of, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, this is all being done because of Instagram and all these platforms that they're using for marketing. You know, you can tell if you're smart enough and watch enough when it's a reused picture. There was actually one that happened around here a couple of weeks ago. They had a picture of like 9 limits and everybody smiling and everything. And I looked at it. My buddy called me, said, "You see that picture?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "That was a good hunt." I said, "Man, they're killing them. Nobody else is killing them in that area." He said, "Well, did you notice John Doe in that picture?" I said, "Yeah, I saw him in there." He said, "You realize he's been in Birmingham, Alabama in rehab for 2 months. He's not even here." So they had reused a picture from 2017-18, and had posted it. It was a great picture. People were drooling all over. "God, y'all are crushing them." "Oh, man, that's awesome." Yeah, dude wasn't even there.
You know, one that I find kind of interesting is mine and your hero, Mr. Tony Vandemore. Great guy, kills a lot of ducks. So, I know this, and this isn't a pick on Tony. Tony and them had killed a lot of ducks in the past week, 10 days. Just that. But yet, you see running video of smashing ducks right now. It looks like they're just wearing that butt out.
Well, and they are. But when you're as hot as Tony and wear tank tops and have no worries about it, yeah, you can do that.
Even Tony doesn't kill ducks sometimes, though, for real.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know. I mean, it's part of a duck hunting. You don't kill them every day. You may kill some, but you know, you'll have days where you're like, "Man, I'm a professional. My calling must be incredible." And then you have days where you're like, "Man, I suck."
Oh. I will say this, I saw where our buddy, old Spence, he jumped in with a heck of a crew this past weekend, man. He jumped in there with old Big Murray Shiles and Brooks Tinsley, and they wore that butt out.
Yeah, he's on a good roll. I talked to him for about an hour yesterday on the road, and he's on a really good roll. I'm proud of him.
Spence, you got it. Spence has had a tough year, as all of us have, you know, when it comes to hunting. And man, but he's been on some great hunts.
I would almost disagree with that because he's on a pretty good streak, I'm going to tell you. But, you know, we have a pretty large network where we can find out what's going on where and stuff like that. And that helps, you know. Sometimes, you know, guys, think about that for a minute. It helps not to be a prick, you know. Sometimes you got some buddies that are killing them, and they'll tell you, you know, "Well, don't come busting our spot, but I bet you can go right down here and get them." You know, it's not boom scouting. It's just talking to your friends, for God's sakes.
All right, now, I got to ask you a couple of questions that arose out of your first role there. Number one. The night that you checked the pecan grove at night and you had 12 or 13 chiladas, is that the same night that I got a video at like 9 o'clock and there were blue and red lights flashing in behind you?
Yeah. that was luckily one of my best friends doesn't drink, which works out really, really well for those kind of trips. we were trying to get to Northeast Arkansas, and at one point I looked over, we were clipping at about 80, and we were in my truck, and at any rate, we got pulled over, and I luckily was not drinking at the time. However, as you mentioned, I had enough to where he probably wanted to take me to jail, but I was not driving because I'm a responsible adult now. Let me preface that. And, you know, that it worked out just fine. My little buddy got a ticket. He's bummed out about that, but we're going to work it out. And, you know, things are going to be just fine. But yes, we did get pulled over. And when the state trooper came to the vehicle, he said, I had y'all at 77 and a 55. And my buddy said, yes, sir, that's right. I apologize. I got to running kind of quick. We're going to meet some guys trying to get dinner and stuff. And I'm sorry. Well, he shined his flashlight in my eyes, which he must have had one of those 5 billion candle power Q beams hooked up. And I literally, it blinded me. And I put my hand up. I was like, whoa. So he went back to the truck, or his car, sorry, and came back and said, well, actually it was 78 and a 55. So he got us for another mile an hour. But, you know, whatever. Yeah, he was a...
How do you mistake a 7 and an 8 on your first trip up?
I don't know. And I think that, you know, I don't want to ever see him again.
I mean, it's not like a radar gun. The readout is bouncing around from 7 to 5 like some kind of speedometer in your car or something. I mean, that's it.
Yeah, we told him too. You know, when you take the handgun class, they're like, make sure when you get pulled over that you tell them you have, you know, your gun and your concealed permit or whatever. Of course, we had about 19 guns in the truck, but he pulls us over and we said, we have a concealed weapon in the glove box or in the console and right here. And he said, don't move. Don't touch him. He said, I don't want to see him. I don't care about your permit. He said, just don't move. And we're like, okay. So anyway, I hope I never see him again. And I'm checking at about 57 miles an hour on that highway. And there's a lot of people that know what highway I'm talking about.
Arkansas's tough, man. Arkansas is the king. And this is a variance of what we're talking about, but the small town cops are the worst in Arkansas. They will with you for 5 miles over.
Yeah, I don't want to say where this is, but there's a certain town that I've written 6 or 7 checks to, or money order, sorry. And they pretty much know me. And when I say I go 45 through there, sometimes I'm going 42 because I'm tired of paving their roads. It's exactly like you said, and this town's population is 216. And two of those people is the county clerk and the cop that pulls me over. I mean, he just comes to the truck. He's like, what's up, Rob? I'm like, good morning. So I had you, 57 and a 45. I'm like, come on, man. I'm trying to get down here. It's, 5 to 6. I got to be there at 6:30. Come on.
Well, let me say this. Last week on the podcast, everybody has asked me, like, man, y'all went from the greatest podcast ever to last week, which was good, but it wasn't like platinum edition podcast ever.
No, it wasn't.
Explain to everybody what happened last week.
Well, I don't know. I've been hunting for 20 days, and I was a little tired. And
But why was it tamed? Why was it tamed last week? Because there was somebody riding in the truck with you.
Yeah. My dad and his guests were in the truck with me, and they worked together. So I was really having to be careful I was really trying to be careful for them not to further acknowledge that I'm an idiot, basically.
That's some absolute best way that you could put that.
Yeah, but because the, you know, these are people that I respect, and I you know, you just gotta you just gotta sometimes bite the bullet, and that's what I had to do, and it was kind of, you know, blah blah. But I hope we can bounce back strong this week.
All right, hey, before we jump off into it, update on the neighbors.
Man, I hadn't seen the neighbors much. I've been gone and going by early and honking and giving them the old finger salute. The leaf situation is still out of control. They still have an 8-foot pile, probably 8x40. It's kind of, we're at a stalemate right now. They haven't been near the house lately. I guess they're walking around the other circle. But I haven't seen them. I hope they're having a good holiday season. I hope they have a Merry Christmas. And maybe I ought to send them a Christmas card, you know, kind of. That, you know what I would do? If I do send a Christmas card, it's going to have leaves on it for sure. And I may send it anonymous, but they're going to know exactly who it is when they see the leaves.
I'm going to predict that your Christmas card is one of the most tame Christmas cards ever. You've got the perfect family picture for your Christmas card.
Well, they're not going to get that one, I can assure you.
Oh.
So, yeah, but it's been pretty tame with them. I imagine that'll get sparked back up, you know, February 1st and around turkey season. You know, because I'll have to work on some of my turkey calls while I'm out there.
Hey, I want to ask you something real quick. Since we're on the neighbors, since we're on, yeah, especially on the crazy redheaded neighbor, I want to propose something to you. See what you have to think about it. Something that hit me this past weekend. All right. Throughout college and through our 20s, we know that there's crazy women, right?
Yes. Millions.
Now we know that crazy snakes in the head women. All right. I'm going to propose something to you. There's crazy, and then there's Maisie. That is the girls that didn't go crazy. They were like super cool as they dated your best friend and your friends. And then they didn't go crazy till after they got married. You ever seen that?
Yeah.
You see your friends left. They're really controlling.
Yeah, that's part of the, that's part of how they're raised in the, you're a female. You have what? You have the power, and this is how this is going to go down.
I've seen some of my better friends from high school and college fall away because they fell victim to a Maisie. And that is, I mean, they just control you. No, you're not going hunting.
Yeah, and a lot of them are the really hot. A lot of them are the really hot ones too. You know. I got a really good friend. Anyway, really, really good friend. I don't want to give out too much information in case she catches wind of this. But, you know, he's hunted one time. And it's all because of exactly what you're saying. And she's hot. So
is,
I think it has something to do with
true.
That. Yeah, I told him the other day, I said, dude, you're too loyal. Like, you just need to lay the law down. And apparently, you know, the law has been laid down.
Well, that is
anyway,
true.
Yeah,
they usually
true.
Are
they're
really hot. That is a connecting factor to all of them.
Yeah, but you know, Rocky, we got to go back. We had a podcast a long time ago, and we discussed how, you know, we tried to tell the younger generations, you don't have to go after the 8 or 9 or 10. You know, they know what they've got and their worth. Find you a good, solid 6 that has potential to hit the gym, you know, while you're working. And work that 6 into an 8 or 9, and then you're got the best of both worlds, because they want to take care of you, and they actually genuinely care about you. These really, really hot ones, they don't care. They're getting married because their friends did it. They're ready to pop out 2 good looking kids, and you know, just hang out for the rest of their life at, you know, at the gym and going to parties and, you know, making cute Christmas cards and what have you. Find you five or six that's got some bottom land or some hunting land somewhere. She's going to care about you. She's going to be probably happy with you because you're going to have the you're going to be the better looking one of the pair. She can always go to an eight. I mean, this is 2018, almost 19. Things can change.
I'll tell you, I'm not gonna say that. Not gonna say that.
Plus, I mean, you know, you find one that actually cares, that really does care, and doesn't just want the post the Christmas card with the pretty family. You know, you're doing good. And I have friends like that, and they never. I mean, I'm sure they fight a little, but they never fight. They have, what's a good word? They practice making babies, you know, 3 days a week, stuff like that. And it's unheard of. I'm like, dude, 3 days a week? You not get tired of that? He's like, no. I'm like, wow. And you duck hunt? Wow. He's either lying or it's amazing. One of the two.
3 days. Whoa.
Yeah. I know. And then I know it's true. It's amazing. Amazing. So, you know, the younger guys really need to listen to this because I fell for it too. And there's nothing wrong with it. Look, if you've got a hot girlfriend and y'all want to get married, that's great. That's great. Go for it. Knock it out. But don't come at me when you're 35 and you're, you know, working your ass off trying to support her and your two kids. And don't come at me like, well, yeah, I heard the podcast, but, you know, thought this was different. You know, when you're raking leaves and we're out hunting and hanging, banging, strapping, you know, slapping, strapping and all that, don't call me upset because you can only hunt December the 26th through the 28th because you have to be back for a function.
I agree. You need to come right pick up Oxford Elementary.
Yeah,
with me.
Exactly. Exactly, especially the single line, freshly divorced. But think about this, Rocky. Think about the dudes that think they're hot stuff, and they're like, yeah, man, I got the hottest girlfriend in Texarkana. And in 5 years, you know, he's knitting quilts for her and stuff and making T-shirt quilts. It's just something to think about. Just keep it in perspective. That's all I'm asking them to do. If you're willing to give up your life because your girlfriend is going to be hot when she's a mom, then that's on you, and you have to make an adult decision. I'm just telling you that there are other ways to do this, and you can always – they can always – it's like, you know, the three-star, the two-star linebacker, Patrick Willis, who ends up being an all-pro, all-everything. They can always – move up. And now they can go down too, but they can go up. And, you know, they may not be the most popular person in school, and they may, you know, they may latch on to you and give you something you're not used to. So I'm just saying, keep it in perspective. Let's keep this all, you know, let's look at this and think about it before we go jumping into marriage at 23 and you're 35 and you look back and you're like, God almighty. For the record, I didn't get married until I was 29.
Smart deal.
Yeah. And my wife.
Very wise.
Yeah. We have a very, very good marriage.
That is definitely the case. Usually it's the hot girl. She's at least a 7 or above. She is so fun. Pre-marriage.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, let's go eat and go to the bar tonight. Oh, yeah, okay. Or let's go do this and that. And, you know, yeah, I know. Been there.
Didn't you never see her again until, like, a formal engagement? You know, formal party.
Right.
Don't see her anymore. She doesn't come to the Friday night barbecue once a month.
No, and it wasn't because she wanted to go. She's going because she feels like she has to go to see everybody.
Hmm.
Something to think about, guys.
All right, I do have to give you credit for something. I'm going to give it to you. Don't give it a lot of times to you, but I will have to give you this. You've been right the whole time about Sitka.
I know I have. I mean, Sitka makes the best products. I've supported them for the past 5 or 6 years. I wore the marsh pattern when everybody made fun of it. And it's just quality, quality stuff. And, you know, I will continue to buy it. I think I have every item that you can purchase this year. And I think the reason they make new and changes to the stuff is so I will buy it again.
It's unbelievable the number of products that they have now, though. And this is, listen, I don't want to make an infomercial. I want to give Rob credit. Rob has been wearing Sitka for a long time, longer than most people in the South. You know, Sitka was a rare thing up until a couple of years ago. So if you've been wearing it longer than a couple of years, you kind of lead the way. I got home, all right, so I hadn't been kind of skeptical, hadn't bought my own Sitka. I've always, Drake gave me a bunch of stuff years ago. All right, so I get home the other night. There's a box on the front door, and I knew that Ryan Bassham, I'm giving him a little credit. So I'm not saying this arrogantly. Do not take this the wrong way. So I get home the other night. There's a box. Ryan, like a week ago, said, hey, what size clothes do you wear? And I just sent him, I figured he was going to, like, send me a jacket or something. From Ryan from Sitka. And I get home, it's a box full of everything. One of everything. Shout out to Ryan. I know you're listening to this. Thank you for
I'm still pretty jealous since I've sold 250,000 Sitka garments. But anyway, I've converted more people than anybody ever in the history of outdoor wear.
I will say this. Now, I'm giving you full credit on this. Rob has been a huge proponent of Sitka, and for always been wearing it. But anyway, I'll say this. It is everything you said and more. And the thing that I was going to say was, it's so fitting, so nice. You, when you come up with a gun, you're not going to get it hung up in any kind of way. Like some of the bigger, you know, bigger, bulkier stuff. But anyway, it is everything and more.
Yes. Yeah, it has everything you could want. And it's light, like you said. It's just really good, thought-out products. It's like when they were going to come out with the Timber, I think, 3 years ago or 4 years ago, and they waited. And Jim Murray had it, and some other guys I knew that were close with the guys at Sitka had it, and they were wearing it and testing it, and they wouldn't release it because they wanted it just right. And that means more to me than, you know, of course I wanted it, and I was mad I didn't get it, but, you know, that they want their stuff to be right. They don't want to put out something that's going to leak or that's not going to fit right. You know, I've got jackets. I've still got some of the Marsh jackets and stuff that I've worn in Canada and stuff, and I haven't had anything solid wear, nothing. I mean, I wear their jackets every day. Every day. I mean, I got one on now.
Hey, so, I gotta ask you this. I gotta ask you this. I know you gotta go. You got somebody waiting in, which you gotta take care of your customers, you know, while you're there. But over the weekend,
pays a little better than the Mondays with Rob.
Yeah, it does. Over the weekend, we had a full, what do you call this guy on social media? When he's a part of a group or something like that, and he has to have this big announcement by. But I don't know how much you read into all this stuff, but he was a Yankee, come on to Duck South. And he made some post about a blind getting burnt down or a blind getting knocked down. And some of the people said, well, look, you can't build a blind on public land. And he proceeds to call everybody on Duck South inbred because they disagree with him. did you see this post? Or
no, I didn't. I was probably asleep, man. I've been going to bed early and getting up early, so I probably didn't. I do try to check all the stuff that I'm tagged in, because most of it is hilarious, but I did not see it. But I kind of know it's kind of a generic default post. I could probably tell you verbatim what it said.
All right. I'll say this from the guy at service. And you tell me if I'm saying it too low or too high. Most of the people, most of the Yankees that duck hunt, I would say 10% of the guys that hunted with me that were Yankees were fun to hunt with.
Yeah, well, it depends. It doesn't matter geographically. It's the guys that come in with an open attitude and don't expect something out of a migratory bird, and guys that have been busting their ass all year before season from September, October to get stuff ready for these guys and do what's, you know, do what you got to do. And they come in there and expect to kill limits every day. And, you know, I know it's fun to shoot your gun. You're paying really good money to do it, but it's a migratory bird, for God's sakes. I mean, when I got it for those 2 years, it almost made me not just want to quit duck hunting because I couldn't deal with the people that just didn't understand that, you know, look, man, this is, it's hard stuff. Why do you think people are upset right now? Because they're not killing ducks. It's not because, you know, they don't get to shoot. It's because they have passion and they've been working on this crap and spending a lot of money and doing a lot of stuff. And, you know, it's like I said before the podcast, they buy, you know, $15,000, $20,000 Rangers, $15,000 boats. I mean, it's a lot going on. It's emotions, it's passion, and, yeah, you want to kill them. So these guys that go on these guided hunts that have $1,500, $2,000 invested are complaining because they're not killing ducks when the guys taking them have $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 invested. So don't give me this crap about, oh, poor pitiful me, we went and didn't shoot. Yeah, well, you know what? There's a club down the road that was an $8 million club that killed 3-0 the same day you went. So don't give me this crap about, oh, I'm owed this or I'm entitled to. If you want to go shoot, go get you some of those tame ducks and let somebody release them, or go on a quail hunt on pen raised birds and kick them up and have a blast.
It's the attitude. It is definitely the attitude.
Exactly. I mean, you get guys that understand and they're cool and they, you know, they get it, man. And those are the guys that are fun, and you end up doing better with them. Even if you only kill five or six, than you do with the assholes that you don't kill any with.
You know, the thing about it was always the opposite with me. I was on a hot streak for that. The asses that came in and hunted with me always killed the ducks and the people that you wanted to kill ducks. You know, you'd put them in a hole that you just knew that you were going to kill them, and okay.
Yeah, I know.
Hey,
it's crazy.
One more question before I let you go. The picture you posted yesterday, the boat floated away. What's the story behind it?
Which picture was it? Oh, the boat picture?
Yeah.
I was by myself. Well, I beat everybody to the ramp yesterday morning. And so we knew it was foggy, so we're like, let's just go out about 6:30 and not have to deal with the fog and wreck a boat and be dangerous. Everybody agreed that was a cool idea. So I told everybody to meet me there. You know, at 6 or 6:30, no rush. We're not going to get in a hurry. Probably won't even start hunting until 7:30 or 8. Well, I got there early, and being the badass that I am, I was like, well, I'm just going to let a little slack out of my winch and launch my boat and then just, you know, like a normal person, get in it and pull it back up to the dock. Well, I pulled my boat back, and I had to break my safety clip. I still got the hook, but the safety clip, if people know what I'm talking about, is really annoying on these boats because you have to get it just right to get it off, and it pisses me off, so I just broke mine off. I said, forget it, you know, whatever. So I look back, I put my boat in the water, I look back, and the damn thing is floating off, and I was like, well, and I just started laughing hysterically. I almost drove my truck into the water. I pulled my truck out, fell in the ground, rolled around laughing. Nobody was anywhere around. I was laughing like a freaking hyena, just on the floor, like almost fainted. So I took the picture because I wanted everybody to see it, and because I have no shame either. But I took the picture kind of at an angle. To be fair and 100% honest, my dad's boat was about 10 feet away, and the boat actually floated back to me. But it was so worth it and so funny. And I had nobody to witness it. If somebody would have been there, we would have had the greatest moment to share. But anyway, it was good. It was too good not to share, and I hope everybody enjoyed that. We've all done it. I mean, if you hunt enough, you're going to do stupid stuff. But the Saturday before, I left my boat hooked up and swamped the whole back of it. So,
hey, any word on the red unicorn being caught without the life jacket on yet?
No word on that yet, but we're getting close because I got some buddies that are hunting right by him, and I'm going to go check the situation out next week after Christmas.
It's going to be a sweet $100 to anybody that catches the red unicorn without the life jacket.
I can assure you I'm going to catch it.
I enjoyed it, bud. And thank you for going through the Macy for me. That's a lot of good stuff.
Yeah.
But thank you again for being here today. We want to thank all of you that listened to this edition of the End of the Line podcast, powered by DuckSouth.com.